Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keys mobile were off.
Yeah.
What a nice day.
After you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if we go left, that'll take us to the famous woods. Have you read the book as well as Paul, or have you?
I've read the book. I gave me a copy,
but only this morning, so sorry, I haven't had a chance.
But it's a very small, thin book, I think, actually, so it's not too heavy reading.
In that case, I should have jumped in. But the book we're talking about, dear listener, we welcome to the show Gemma Bell.
Good morning, Gemma.
Morning. Running
with Robbins.
Power walking this morning.
Yeah, yes. power walking. Yes, it's a new direction for. We've never been for a power walk, but we're going for one because you went for a little jog and you've got a bit of sciatica this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's kicked in. It's a recurring injury. Unfortunately, I'm sure having read your columns, you've had your fair share of injuries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're used to pain.
That's mostly what running is.
Yeah.
Seems to be.
As you
get more into it, isn't it? Just dealing with various. Especially around the back. Especially for me, around the back. Lower back.
And I think once you've been bitten by the runner's bug, you just don't want to stop running. And when you get injured, it's the worst thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you exacerbate it. Wow, look at these autumn colours. I'm going to try and get a picture.
They're beautiful. Gorgeous, aren't they?
He's gorgeous today, yeah.
Oh, I'll catch up.
Actually, autumn's my favourite season to run in.
I like autumn. Yeah,
I get too hot in the summer.
Yeah. Well, you'd have loved this summer then, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Sauna, yeah, that was up completely up my street, yeah.
Yeah, baking.
I did actually get a lovely tan. I've got lovely tan marks, my T-shirt marks still, so
yeah,
they've not faded yet.
I like running in the old sun. It reminds me when I was a kid going for loads of runs on the beach. So we're gonna run into the woods then, which you've done.
Yes.
You like running in the woods.
I do like running in woods. Yeah. I do like the challenge of hills and tree roots and talking to nature.
Yes. Yeah.
I enjoy that rather than tackling the cars and crossing roads.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you well situated here for woods?
Yep, here we are.
Your question is answered. We've just gone around the corner.
Literally on the doorstep. Doesn't get much better than this.
That's really good.
This is great.
I'm sorry that I didn't get that chance to read your book, but tell us all what the... Where it all begins.
Well, it's called Running with Robbins. That's the title. And it's about my childhood growing up with a nice, happy family with Dad, my twin sister Natalie, and my mum.
Yeah.
And my dad was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the blood, when I was 13.
Oh,
very sad story, isn't it? Let's face it. Yeah.
I think it didn't really sink in when I was 13. I thought everything would be tickety-boo, he'd get better and we'd just move on. So he actually passed away 4 years later when I was 17. So right in the middle of my A-levels.
And such a influential time for you. I mean, you must
Absolutely.
Have been just taking that.
Well, actually, I channeled all my emotions into my studies.
Right.
Because I was doing GCSEs and A-levels. So I tried to ignore it and we tried to carry on as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. It must have cast a.
It was
a massive shadow, of course.
Well, I couldn't really talk about. I couldn't talk about it at school, really, because no one could really empathise. None of my friends,
right,
had parents who were ill or anything, and you don't really want to talk about it. You want to try and forget about it.
And for other people who aren't experiencing that, it's such a. You don't realise when you're young what a bubble you're living in.
I was. I was lucky. I had a twin sister. Oh, I still do, obviously.
Yeah.
But so we just talked amongst ourselves about it.
Yeah.
And Dad actually was a runner. He was He did the London Marathon the year I was born, right. So 1989.
Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the, yeah, not too far after it started, really.
No, I think it's third year. Or 81, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So I never ran. I was sporty, gymnastics, ballet, perfect, but running, oh God, I can barely do a 100-meter sprint. So. Yeah. But it was Dad who suggested I take up running when he was actually ill.
Right.
To help me sort of loosen up and relax. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's when my running began, when he died. Mm-hmm. I actually began running and thinking of him. And I started running along here.
Well, which is amazing, actually. I mean, this is gorgeous, isn't it? This
it is.
A beautiful setting.
It's amazing. We're
my
so
goodness,
lucky.
You get the miles in here if you lived here, wouldn't you?
And thanks for getting us here in October. I mean, it can't, it's just, well, I suppose this is one of those places that looks different every time you come here as well.
It does. Each day is a bit different, really. And you see deer and monk jack and...
Wow.
You can go on for miles. This goes, it connects to down to Surrey.
As you come up here, there's like a, we're on a kind of dusty track with just a green grass on the right and the trees full of bracken on the left and sweet chestnuts just opening
up. There's conkers and acorns.
Absolutely gorgeous. So, but then when you started running here, it was like, because your dad suggested it when he was ill. So
that was his idea. And obviously he said he would love to have gone with me, but he was too ill to go. And that was really upsetting for me. But that's still my way of connecting with him.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But running a mile felt like running a marathon. As I talk in the book, I was ready to collapse and give up.
And was that your very first run? Do you remember it clearly?
Yeah, I do. I talk about it in the book, going round the pond near me. Mm-hmm. And it was horrendous. I looked at it. I was wearing a white cotton t-shirt, black leggings, and something like Reebok trainers. And a sweatband. Very, very appropriate.
That's one of the great things about running, though, is you go for your first run. You can't run very far. Mm. Then you have a little rest. Then you go for another. You run a bit further.
Can you remember your very first run?
I think he was the wrong person to ask because he kind of arrived running.
You ran before you could walk?
So almost. I mean, I used to run a lot when I was a kid and just running everywhere and...
Sorry, it gets a bit hilly, by the way.
It's
a good workout.
We don't mind hills.
It looks nice as well. It makes it more picturesque.
Just flies by when you're in here.
Yeah, this is great. But you can feel your own improvement, can't you, at the beginning? Because you just run a bit further the next time, don't you? That's one of the great things.
Absolutely.
The great things about it.
You get that runner's high every time, regardless, I think.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Once you get going, I mean, when I say get going, I mean like just a couple of runs in, you realise that you can either... You feel good and you think, oh, I feel really good. It felt nice. Or it's really tough and you feel bad and you think, oh, well done me. I fought that tough run.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a kind of win-win.
I actually prefer running like in the rain against Mother Nature and I come home feeling victorious. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking, no, you didn't stop me. I triumphed over that.
Yeah,
and I didn't go to the gym and hide, indoors. I actually faced the wet and the wind and feel better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nature's much better. It's actually quite harder. We find it harder to run in the gym, really.
I haven't
in Dubai recently. Did you?
Yeah, it was too hot to run outside. I was going to run outside, and there was a few possibilities. So I thought, no, I'm going to the gym. And I just same thing. I just thought, I'm going to do the hard thing for the sake of the hard thing, as part of my training. So I said, I'm going to go on a running machine, do 10K every day while I'm here. And that was it was a pretty sweaty week. But the one was the day I realised that I was that if I went back and did another half hour, I'd be on a 50-mile week and ended up doing 10 miles on a treadmill in one day.
That's mind-numbingly boring on a treadmill. I've not been on a treadmill in years.
You're just not running, in terms of, I think at a spiritual level, you're just not running. None of that kind of communion with nature, with yourself, with your space. None of it's happening when you're on a treadmill. You're just making your legs go.
Well, I find running's multi-sensory. You're smelling, touching, feeling, seeing as around us now. You can hear
absolutely,
things.
Yeah.
And
you
don't get that when you're in an air-conditioned room.
Oh, as you say that, and we just got to a crossroads, and there was a cool breeze up the hill. There's a blackbird singing in the tree, and we turned right, and it smelt nice. So it was,
that's not my perfume, no.
Yeah, that's right. It's good. For perfume, it's a little bit woody. But
yes, it is. Go for the musk smell.
No, that's definitely me.
So you started running at...
About 17 or 18.
About 17, 18.
Sorry, going back to the book.
No, it's good. You go for your little run. You go for your mile. You feel...
Yeah, I feel good about it. It's a good sort of focal thing. And said I've always been competitive and sporty. And I started taking it more seriously when I had my first long-term boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And his mother was a marathon runner. And she got me involved running. And I did my first 10K race with my boyfriend.
Yes.
And I beat him.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that affect your relationship in a good way? Did he like that, is what I'm saying?
I hope he did. I hope he thought, yes, I'm going out with a rather fit girlfriend. Yeah. He might have just let me when I don't know, but I felt great. Yeah, I was on top of the world.
But from reading the book, it escalated quite quickly, didn't it? You obviously really enjoyed running. And
yeah, within a couple of months, I was doing half marathons, and that was my favourite distance, I think, back then. Mm-hmm. I like getting that medal at the end. I would never enter a race unless there was a medal at the end of it. Yeah. I don't know if you're the same.
Fair enough.
I mean, you must have huge...
Performance reward.
You mean you must have huge collection of medals and things, but...
It's quite impractical, really. They're very rattly and clanky. But it's not the collection so much as wearing it on that day. You know, the rest. My family insists on me wearing the medal for the rest of the day. Because that's the thing.
It's that pride, isn't it? I don't like taking it off, yeah.
It's an intangible achievement made real, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to university, carried on running.
And you were quite good at running, obviously, weren't you?
I mean, I wasn't at the beginning.
Yeah, you've sort of the 10Ks and just the fact that you're beating people that you knew and stuff, you had a bit of natural ability.
I was hoping.
It seems to be.
I'm hoping I had Dad's natural talent. He ran the London Marathon in 2:58.
Wow.
So he's fast. And that was his first ever marathon.
Wow.
And that was his only marathon.
That's incredible, That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't at the time appreciate how fast that was. I just thought any 3 hours of running is boring. But, I used to watch it on TV and think, how can anyone put themselves through that? I could never do that. But then, lo and behold, a couple of years later, after I graduated from my master's, I did enter the London Marathon. I thought, I'm going to do something for Dad. Yes. I want to raise money for my local hospice. And I raised over £2,500 for them and ran the London Marathon in 3.5 hours. So
walk us through that. Because so London's an amazing marathon. Think to run it that your first marathon in London, that's a special day, isn't it?
It was, I think it's the marathon. I thought if I was going to do any marathon, it would be that one, mostly because Dad had done that, so it's got more of a family connection, an emotional connection with it.
Yeah,
but it is great. It's world famous, and it's just, I think, have you both run it?
We've both run it.
But also, like you're saying about running, you know, taking that first run at your dad's suggestion, then doing the London Marathon for a charity related to your dad, it's like an upgrade of the same impetus, isn't it? You're basically out there doing it for him.
That's what got me around. When I got to sort of mile 21, I thought, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I really am going to skip. Why?
What was the weather like and everything? Was it?
It was ideal for me. It started off really quite cool, about 12, 13 degrees in the morning. But by the time I came through about 12, 1 o'clock-ish, it was near 20 and it became actually quite hot.
Yeah.
And clear blue sky and the sun was out. And I cried as I went over the finish line because I couldn't believe I'd just sort of literally run the same footsteps, the same route as Dad had done all those years before.
And you finished quite strongly though, didn't you? On a sort of running level, reading it, you finished.
Yeah, I didn't
have... You felt quite good, didn't you, last few miles?
I didn't have any injuries or... I didn't have a loo break. That was my greatest fear. What if I need the loo? I have to run to this water cabins or, you can't...
You always lose time in
that. Yeah, Mother Nature's a bit different, isn't it, for women? You can't... Yeah, we're not as able to go anywhere as gentlemen can. But luckily, I didn't need any loo breaks, so I just had a continuous
Train, you trained quite hard for that, hadn't you?
Oh, gosh, those months. Yeah, I started back in October.
Right.
And obviously, it was in March, so I had a good 5-6 months to prepare.
Yeah. Right.
But, running through the winter, I went out snow, sleet, ice, just in case. I wanted to be prepared. Yeah. Didn't know what the race day was going to be like. And I didn't, I just kept thinking, I'm doing this for Dad and all those other people fundraising for me and things. I can't let them down. I have to drag myself out, even if I don't want to. I even ran on Christmas morning. I dragged myself out like at 6 o'clock, before everyone else was up doing the presents. I thought, no, I have to squeeze in a run. And you feel better for it. I think that's the hardest bit, getting out, isn't it?
Yes, once you're out, you feel great.
But it can also be an addiction, can't it, running? That's a...
We get on. So you did the marathon.
Yes.
And you did it,
35,
yes. Yeah.
Wow.
That's fast for your first marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought, that's it. I'm never going to be able to beat that time.
Right.
I'm going to stop now before, you know, I want to end on a high note. And, yeah, I continue running, but I went back just to doing half marathons. And I thought, do I need to continue running now that I've actually done my marathon and done that for Dad? I just couldn't close that chapter. I said, it became more of an obsession, addiction, and I didn't want to let it go. I didn't want to let my running.
So talk about that then. So what happened then? So you did the marathon, then you can't continue running, and then you start.
Well, I went.
Did you realise you were running too much, or you were just?
Well, I got a full-time job, and that was quite, I think, challenging in the sense of being in a sort of 9-to-5 office job when I've always been active and being able to do. My own routine being constrained was difficult, and not being able to do my usual running. I usually run in the mornings, and I couldn't do that, and that became difficult. And I didn't feel good. I missed my runner's high, and I missed.
I was
going to
say, one of the things that seems interesting to me about this is that I think that some people, you know, you said that's my one marathon. I've done my marathon. I don't think it's a big deal. I think a lot of people at that point might. Fall out of the habit of running and be disappointed that they didn't keep on running. I think maybe you went kind of in the opposite direction in that you were still really training hard, but now without that focus.
Absolutely.
So the training's kind of just turning into something in and of itself.
It was a bit aimless. Yeah. I wanted to keep up that stamina. I thought, I built the stamina up. I can't just let it go. I don't want to suddenly, you know, become a potato couch.
Yes.
That's never been me. I don't want to let that all go, all that hard work. So I wanted to maintain that, but it was obviously clashing with my work life. And yeah, I knew I was beginning to run too much because I started getting injuries, but I'd run through my injuries and making myself ill unnecessarily. But I just had tunnel vision. I had my horse blinkers on. I would not give it up, even though friends and family wanted me to.
So you're sort of obsessive.
It was.
So you're addicted to the sort of... the endorphins and how you feel after running, but it's linked in with feelings about your dad. And
I didn't want to let go of that. I felt like I'm letting him down and disappointing him, thinking, oh, I'm sure Dad would continue running, and he managed it somehow. Why can't I do that?
And of course, if you're trying to live up to an ideal of your dad, that is an ideal of your dad, isn't it? You know, because he wasn't there to, you know, he'd have said, no, I got injuries, or I can't run. And then it's an idea of your dad you're projecting against yourself in that situation.
And I didn't want to ever be dad. I didn't want to ever run as fast as him.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to forget him. And I didn't want to lose that that connection I had with him.
Yeah.
And I tried other things, but I never got that same feeling. I took up cycling and other sports and things. I just don't get the same feeling as I do. It's so freeing being out in nature. And
So would you find yourself, and do you find yourself thinking about him when you're running then?
A lot less now, I have to admit. Cause he's passed away about 12 years now. So I've been able to...
Well, that's natural, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not grieving him or anything like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, if I see a robin fly by, I do think of him and pretend it is him or something like that.
Yes.
Think of him, but I'm not sad in that sense. I'm much stronger and better than that. At the beginning, it was sort of... talking to myself, talking to the robins as encouragement, thinking, Dad's running with me. But now I'm fine going about myself. And
it's a healthy thing to do, isn't it? But it's obviously you just took it too far, isn't it? It's a healthy
thing.
It's hard to keep the balance. I mean, I find it myself. I think a lot of people can relate to that on a level of just like they love running so much.
Yep.
Just controlling it, because you just want to run forever, don't you, when you start running and you're enjoying it. You just want to just keep going.
You don't know when to stop.
And running is recognised as a kind of medicine, you know, and like any medicine, you can take too much of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but running's good for you. People say, well, just stop. Yeah. So, well, no, it's good for me. And I feel worse when I haven't been out. I just enjoy it so much, and I said now I've cut back a lot and do it for enjoyment. I and said I do the occasional race.
So what happened? What was the what stopped you running?
I stopped myself by collapsing.
Right.
My body weight got too low again. I didn't really see it or register it, and coming back from a 10-mile, my usual weekend long run and 10-mile, and nothing difficult, came back.
But you had your bike crash, didn't you? You had your crash.
Oh yes, that was the month beforehand.
So you were fit and well.
Yes.
Although people were getting a bit worried that you were overdoing it, and then
I got I took up cycling to try and do something different, and I was cycling back from town as I would usually, and a car hit me on a roundabout, so I was lying in the road.
Oh, no.
and the ambulance was called. I'd never been in an ambulance or had, you know, go to any. My first thing was planning, how am I going to run tomorrow? I've got a race coming up. What am I going to do?
Yeah, if we can find a moment that sums up your if your overcommitment to running, it's got to be that one. Don't yeah.
Absolutely.
I've got to run in the morning.
Yeah, well,
did you break any bones or anything?
Fortunately not, but I had a... can show you my lovely scars later on my knees. I had a huge incision on my knee and all the bruising and down my side body, down the side of my body and things. But fortunately, no, nothing was broken.
Right.
I think I was fortunate in that I'm quite agile and having done gymnastics things, I know how to fall quite well.
Right.
But it was the impact. That's still the impact.
Kicked in.
Yes.
Right.
Luckily, my helmet saved my head. So yes.
Lucky escape.
Yeah.
In a
it
way.
It was.
Yeah.
But having that. Fear of going to hospital, having stitches and all that was terrifying.
And of course, after that, you would need to take some time off, right?
A normal person would, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't want to be normal, I thought to myself. I'm not a normal person. I don't want to just be average Joe or Josephine.
Yeah.
And sit there and recover. I want to get back and... if we go up here, it will be a bit hilly, guys. So
that's fine. We can do that. Yeah, it's good.
We might see some squirrels and
maybe a
other bits.
So you popped, so you jumped back in
within a month. Yes, within a month. So in December, I was out jogging. I still had bandages and things like that around my knee. The stitch had been taken out.
Right.
But but I still had the dressings on it. So I was it was jogging. It wasn't running. It was just jogging.
Yeah.
Or trudging along. That was good enough, though. Something was better than nothing. And then...
But quite long distances, weren't they?
I didn't think 10 miles was that far.
Yes.
Having had done a marathon, doing 10 miles is...
But it is. It's still a way, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's still a way.
And it falls away. You've got to, it's always incremental, isn't it? You've got to kind of... small percentages, you know. But then you ran 10 miles and collapsed.
I came back. Yeah, it was quite a wet, windy day. I came back and...
Which again takes much more energy out of you in a way you don't notice, you know, running against the weather.
Yes, I hadn't taken that into consideration. I just thought, I'll be fine. Got back, felt a bit lightheaded, was going up to the bathroom and thought, I feel really cold and shivery. This is really unusual. I don't feel like this normally. I thought, hot shower, I'll be fine. Yeah, and then, you know, big lunch, feel much better. But had my shower and just felt very suddenly wobbly and dizzy. Could barely step out of the shower. Tried to sit down on the toilet just to regain my balance. Managed to slip off the toilet and hit my head on the sink and passed out.
Gosh. The panic of it, the feeling of that, falling away like that must have been...
Well, my vision went into black and white. I was terrified.
You must have been.
And I know, I can remember trying to steady myself and stand up, grasping anything I could in the bathroom, but I couldn't. And
just falling into something, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's a really difficult.
And just
moment.
I remember hitting the whole cold floor, and that was it. And then hours later, Mum came home and found me in the bathroom, still in that state. And she's the one who called the ambulance, and they resuscitated me, fortunately.
It must have been touch and go there.
Well, she thought I had completely gone.
Yeah.
I woke up in the ambulance saying, why am I cold?
Yeah.
Where am I? You know.
Can I go for a run?
It was literally sort of, when am I going home?
So you were locked into relentless forward motion of some kind or other, weren't you? You were just locked into a pattern of, I have to keep going.
Yeah.
And running, putting my COD psychologist hat on, running away from the grief of your dad. And do you know what I mean? Just hadn't,
it
was hadn't stopped to reflect. Hadn't
no, I hadn't stopped. I mean, I didn't do a gap year or anything. So I had concentrated all my studies throughout. My dad was ill, went to university, went straight into work. And I hadn't really stopped and really grieved or thought about.
And realistically, you probably thought as well. You're thinking, no, it's fine because I've processed that, you know, in a variety of ways. Like, for example, your marathon, you know, that feels like that is a kind of processing.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, you're still... Like Paul says, you're still running.
Needs more. Yeah. So what happened then? So you're...
So I had to stay in hospital over Christmas, which was utterly depressing. I thought I'm going to be like one of those people in Casualty, or, you know, these medical programs who have to spend, yeah, Christmas and with, you know, the tacky tinsel and everything and, yeah, the ward. And yeah, I had all that. And
yeah.
It really made me, it was a wake up moment, appreciate how precious life is. I thought, yes, I can't be here much longer. I don't want to be here. I don't want my life to go on like this.
Mm-hmm. You'd reached your ground zero.
It really was a turning point for me.
Yes.
I thought that was, so I kind of see my collapse as a blessing in disguise. I realised how dangerous running can be when you take it too far, and actually it's not the end all be all. I don't have to do as much.
Yes.
You know,
people
run, have happy lives doing their running and balancing it with their families, as I'm sure you're trying to do, juggling it. And they're not in hospital, so
why do
I need to be?
And moderation is important in all things, isn't it? I mean, if it's taking, basically, if anything good, if it's taking something away from you, it's not good anymore, you know.
It had taken over my life. It'd become my priority.
So what was the recovery process like from that then? What did you, I mean, I imagine you're quite underweight as well. And
Everyone was convinced that I ran to be thin. I said, no, I've never wanted to be thin. I've always been fit and healthy. I've never had that peer pressure or anything. It wasn't about, people thought, was it linked to anorexia? No, it wasn't as if I was skipping meals or anything.
Right.
I just had lost all that body weight because I just was running too much and wasn't resting enough.
Yes,
yeah.
I never had any psychological problems like that. It wasn't because, yeah, I wanted to be thin. I hated being thin. I hated it. I said, I've got a twin sister and she was, you know, beautifully healthy and everything. And
That must be very, I mean, I always think with sibling relationships, you can never know what another person's sibling situation is like, but it must be really, it must really tell you something to have a twin sister. It's kind of like a life mirror.
To an extent, yes, although now...
Does your twin sister run?
No, I was going to say, although now we've completely diverged.
Yeah.
She lives in London and she's a teacher, which she loves doing. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't run. She said she could barely run for the bus.
Right.
So, but we used to do ballet and gymnastics together and be really sporty. But then, since separating, going to different universities, we've had our own lives and she's got different interests to me. But again, I think I'm being the older twin. I'm older by 2 minutes and the dominant one. I've sort of always led. I've always wanted to win. I've always wanted to be the best. It's 2 minutes, but it's still 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like
he works a couple of things out in those 2 minutes.
Two kids. Absolutely. And the oldest one's one, and the other one is also one. But being the oldest counts.
It does. It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes being more intelligent, and 2 minutes, being given priority. So. Yeah.
So you realise then, all this must have been quite tricky for your mum as well, mustn't it? All this must have been very.
She's
difficult.
Everything to me. I wouldn't be here without her, to be honest.
Yes,
She's the one who saved my life, and she's put up with me, endured all this.
Yes.
So she's in, so you're talking in hospital, and then you come out, and you realise.
Yeah, things have to change.
Healthier.
Absolutely, things have to change. I have to get the right balance. I want to make her and dad proud, and doing what I was doing was not working.
Yeah.
So give me your time frame on this. When did you come out of hospital then?
Sorry, I came out in January. So I went in December.
Yeah.
Had to spend Christmas and New Year there.
Yes.
And then January is when I got to go home and have my birthday and celebrated. And
you were at home for that. That's good.
Yes, thank God. So that felt a bit more normal.
Yeah.
And then, I just started. Next couple of months, I spoke to some sports therapists who helped me to relax and not actually overdo my exercise, because I think that's actually quite common in professional runners.
Yes, definitely actually. With professionals.
It must be a lot more pressure for them.
Yes.
Always wanting to be at the top, or when you don't win, or when you retire, what do you do with your life then?
But I think ultimately when you get to that point, like you say, it must be like that but for professional runners, but if you get to that point physically and personally where your body collapses, says no, I won't do this anymore, then ultimately you're all on the same page, your reasons or your journey, whether it's at the university training track or at home in your bathroom, that's the message is the same.
Absolutely.
Pull back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Where are you at now with your exercise generally?
I still do something every day, whether it's walking in the woods here or going for a bike ride, or I've taken up other hobbies. So I do horse riding and ballroom dancing.
Right.
And they're things that I've always wanted to do, but now I've made time for them because I run a lot less. And
yes, yeah.
Yeah, and balance that out with doing freelance writing. Now I've come out of, I realised that town planning was not my cup of tea. It just isn't me. So despite having...
In a roundabout way.
Like it.
Love
like
the pun. Yeah, well done. Like
there's a squirrel. Very funny. There goes a squirrel. You said we'd see a squirrel.
Yeah, you should often hear them as well. They make the most make outrageous fuss, noise. And foxes, often get foxes even in daylight. They're very tame around here.
So it's been a good year so far.
It has been, and doing this book has just been the icing on the cake.
So when did you decide to write the book then? What
I
happened?
Started actually in hospital.
Right.
Putting it all together, I kept a diary.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, maybe this could be something. I'd like someone to benefit from my experience.
Absolutely. No, it's lovely. It's a great book. It's a lovely story well told.
And I've illustrated all the chapters with my drawings of robins.
Yeah.
Because Dad was a creative director in advertising. He would, as I say in the book, hand draw my Christmas and birthday cards. And I've always loved drawing. So I thought, as a make it even more personal, I'm going to draw little robins to go in it as well.
Yeah.
But actually, I spoke to Dad about a book. So when he was actually alive, I said, Dad, would you actually mind if I wrote about your cancer? But I never really started. Yeah. But I got his permission before he passed away, luckily.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So do you feel like you've got somewhere in your relationship with him and his memory?
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I hope he's proud and said, I try and turn things into a positive.
Yes.
Like I said, I know he passed away and it was tragic and I can't change any of that, but I'm trying to think, well, how can I make the most of the situation? Mm. And
well, exactly. And I think you need to, one hopes that you can get back to that point, that marathon, you know, that is something that you kind of gave to yourself and gave to him and give to that memory and then say, that's it. That is, like you say, that's a peak, you know, it's the trigger beyond that is that kind of the way that training for that just whizzed on and on. But coming past that and putting that aside, that still stands, doesn't it? That
you still
tribute.
Did it.
And that is the wonder of, you know, everyone. I always, we were talking about this before. One year I did the London Marathon just after the Boston bombing.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like, oh, my goodness. You can't imagine this being a positive thing anymore, you know. And everyone's worried. And there were people there who'd come over, who'd run in Boston and then quickly come to London or were running in London, you know. And I was just thinking that. And then my, you know, that your story is like, people who run marathons are often coming from a point of
lots of people running in tribute
sad,
to someone else,
you know,
aren't
they? Or running when they themselves are not well or have some kind of trauma. And it's just amazing the way that event, the London Marathon, you know, it alchemizes those
mass events, mass marathons.
It does.
Yes,
it's two things. It turns that trauma and sadness into something positive, and it turns that individual journey into a huge communal thing.
I did notice the camaraderie amongst other runners and the crowd.
Yeah, the crowd go there to witness it and feel it as well.
The volunteers cheering you on. Yeah. You know, I lost count. I got up to 100. I was counting the people who shouted out. I had Gem, my name Gem on my vest.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was running for hospice. And I just thought a stranger shouting out Gem, it's great. Or, you know, your running number. I didn't know my running number. I couldn't remember it. But they're shouting it out.
Yeah.
And
it's
thought that's so kind.
It's a lovely thing to experience.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a monk jack.
That's a monk jack just there.
There it goes. Oh, no one will ever believe me. There we go. I've got the picture.
What is a monk jack?
It's a mini deer.
Mini deer.
All right. Oh, okay.
I thought it was a warthog initially. I mean, it's just...
bumped into those out here.
It would be terrifying.
An occasional velociraptor. But
the thing is,
I think that you think, this is me, this is what I do. But we're all just growing and learning, you know. And you had so much to process there. And
it's an awful lot to take on, isn't it?
Yeah. Who knows who we're going to be and where we're going to end up? We're all just growing and learning all the time.
Well, I envy those people who say, oh, I'm going to be a nurse from the age of three or whatever, and they are. And I just say, I never knew what I wanted to be. And I never
wanted to be running.
Well, running was the last thing. I never thought I would say, I never thought I'd do a marathon.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I said I don't have any regrets, because I wouldn't, if I hadn't done or hadn't experienced all those things, I wouldn't be here where I am now. And I wouldn't have all these paths and opportunities open up in front. I would have never have met you two, for example.
Yes,
I
mean,
how did you even come across my book, Paul?
Just came across it. I was sent it and I read it and I liked it. And it was just very simple. Just very simple. And people are interested. People like to hear stories.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of silliness and shenanigans in our show, and we enjoy that. You know, I think that people can take just the mechanics of running very seriously, but equally, you know, it's all about stories and how people live with running, and that isn't always silly. And it also isn't always positive. You know, we just want to...
because it's such good medicine, people tend to go to it when they need something, don't they? You know, there's a, you know, percentage-wise, I don't know what the percentage is, but I know that if I'm down and I go for a run, I'll feel better.
Yes.
And it's just, it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah. I say that in my book. I knew. I feel better. I kick myself more if I didn't go than I ever did.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how far I go, as long as I've done something, then something's better than nothing.
And do you think you've changed that switch now? Do you sometimes think, I should run, and then think to yourself, no, watch it? Do you have you know, that security system in place now?
I do. I think, okay, that's enough, Gemma.
Yeah.
And I've changed my attitude.
Yeah.
And I don't need to do that. I think before it became a necessity. I have to do this. I have to make that mark. I have to do 80 miles a week or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have to run in the rain. But now thinking,
whatever
actually, if it is raining, it was raining on Saturday, I thought, you know what, I don't really want to run in the rain today. I will change my running day to, you know, Saturday or Sunday or whatever, a day that's not raining.
Yeah.
And I will just go and do something. I'll go for a swim instead or something. Yeah. So I'm a bit less harsh on myself, shall I say. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
You should be good to yourself.
You know, the longer you run, the better you tend to feel mentally.
That's
and it. So it stretches out indefinitely, doesn't it? Yeah, you think, if I just keep running, this will keep going.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of delayed reactions, isn't there?
Yeah, so there is. Yeah, there absolutely is.
Weaknesses that come in 4 days later, you're kind of out there and you've already run again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to stop that feeling. Think, oh, yeah, I've just done the 20 miler. Yeah. And you think, oh, good, I can put my feet up. But then the next day you think, actually, I want to feel that again. I don't want to stop that feeling. Yeah. But the fact that you have to keep running further and further each time,
to
pushing
get
yourself
no,
to
you're
get
right.
that,
you're right. It
is
becomes
hard.
A hit. It becomes like a drug in that.
It is.
Chasing, very, chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because we're saying this, you know, even at a simple level, it's all about a relationship with the machine that is your body. And the thing is that you do train it, and like things like that your body just gets used to it. So whatever was like giving you a massive push and a hit before, your body's just like, yeah, this is what we do, because you taught it that.
It's adapted.
So it's always going to be further and deeper and more. It's always going to be that's another way in which it's very much an addiction, I suppose.
Absolutely.
So can you see yourself returning to races or what? Or do you think that's over now? Or
I did race early this year and that felt good. But that's the only race I did. I haven't done any other races. I just trained for pleasure now because I don't want to commit to anything. So then I think that would just add pressure, and I don't want to end up on that cycle thinking, okay, I've got that half marathon. I want to try and, beat my previous time on that. I think, no, if I don't enter them, then I haven't got that
temptation.
Pressure. Exactly, precisely. So I just run to be happy, and that's it, really.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like
that sounds like
and also I don't know if you find that it's actually getting more expensive to enter races, the cost.
The cost is ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy, which is why part runs are good.
Yes.
Oh, do you do a regular part run?
Yeah, semi-regular.
We've got two problems. We're all over the place, and we work Friday nights.
So it can be a bit early.
It was actually the parkrun anniversary on Saturday, and we both said we must go and celebrate 14 years of parkrun.
Did you?
How did that go for you, Paul?
Well, no, I didn't get to bed till about 2, so it just felt too early.
Yeah, and Rob, I didn't get to. I was
you
2 minutes
off,
away.
You?
I was in the car driving to a parkrun. I got in traffic and missed the beginning. So, you know.
Soul is winning, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. And the traffic was busy.
And the traffic, yeah. There was all those roundabouts, wasn't it? Exactly. So, yeah.
And talking of Let It Go, did you feel any catharsis? How did you feel when you finished your book?
It was a huge relief.
Yeah.
Although I'm a bit... I'm not a perfectionist, but I found it struggled to actually think, is that finished? Should I go?
Let it go.
Should I rewrite it a bit more? Or is that really how I want to end? Or
yeah.
So, but I did, once it was all down, my first draft, I thought, oh, yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
And I've actually got something. But I didn't really sink in until it was actually published, until it arrived, that the cardboard box that I got through the post, wrapped in brown paper and string, and the first copy in it, and I opened it. And that was when my heart...
Yes, that was a life-changing moment.
Yeah, it's a shame you don't get to include that in the book, but of course that would be a physical impossibility.
Yeah, it was, yes.
Bit of time travelling ball.
But it is very much, it does, just in my mind's eye, I'm just seeing that and the marathon finish line as being the same, you know, such different experiences, but the same kind of, I did that, you know, this incredible
elation,
life journey is complete at this specific moment in time. I find that no matter how long a run is, or rather in this case, no matter how short a run is, you truly know when you've been on a run when you kind of disconnect from yourself, you unlock, and then when you come back, it's a new time. You know that you've gone through that run and the next bit of life begins. And that can be 20 minutes or a marathon. You know, it's meditative. That's why the treadmill thing doesn't work.
No, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about when you run? I mean, I actually just switch off. I often think, I just look at...
I like to switch off if I can, The good runs, it's like you're not thinking at all, is it?
No, I don't know
no,
where the time goes. I just mean,
exactly. I find that you start thinking about it. You think, oh, I'm going well, going down here, I'm going to go over there.
Yep.
And then suddenly you look round internally and you think, oh, I forgot I was running. I forgot myself.
Yes, they're the good runs.
I go into autopilot. My body just continues and
yes.
I just go along with it.
Sometimes you get the odd breakthrough thought, don't you? You get the odd thing that makes you think, I wish I had a pen and paper to scribble this down.
Well, like your shopping list.
Well, or just just thoughts about your life, or, you know.
I think sometimes they're a bit like drunken thoughts. You know, you could write three of them down and one or two of them would be incredibly, you know, change your life, breakthrough moments. And then the third one would be, what the hell was I talking about there?
I do actually find that not solve problems, but I do think things through and put things in perspective when I run sometimes.
It can definitely put things in perspective.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah.
And then I come back feeling, oh, I can actually do that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. It does bring a sense of calmness sometimes when you want to get back.
Because a lot of problems happen in your mind, don't they? And running puts you back into your body.
That's right.
And that in itself helps, yeah.
But okay, here's an interesting thing. I suppose if running is the problem, it's possible that it's a problem that you don't notice when you're running. From a kind of objectivity point of view.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're not lost.
No, it's nice. I'm just taking it in. It's absolutely gorgeous around here.
When we were at the top of the hill, there was a couple of big sort of cleared spaces. And I did have a little bit of... it just reminded me of around this time last year, me and Paul went for a run in North Yorkshire in Dalby Forest. And we got so lost.
Yes, yeah.
And it was a similar kind of place. It's all very well. It's nice running in the woods. But it's nice to know that at some future point you will actually
get out
in the woods.
Yes. Not stuck in a maze. Yes.
When we eventually found where we were, you know, we sort of popped out on a road and found a map and saw a person. So that was good news. But it was just amazing where we were. We were just in a different area. And I was the map reader on that, so it was all my bad.
That's deliberate though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's deliberate.
Absolutely intentional.
Special experience. It was like when I lost Paul's phone. It was just a way to bring drama to the show.
Yes, why not?
Yeah, we're going to go out a different way just to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the same entrance.
I don't like to, when I'm running, I don't like to repeat any of my route. So that's really good for me.
Well, that's the same when it comes to races. I don't do the same race twice because I get bored.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to, pay for the same route twice. I like to try out different races and try out different routes.
There's something nice about falling into your a regular training route, though, isn't it? Because then you...
You know it.
You don't have to think about it at all. I mean, I do find myself doing this. I imagine you do this a lot. And if I lived around it, I'd do this loads. It's so, so nice and simple and really soft underfoot and all the good stuff, isn't it?
And yet, it would exactly. It would never stop giving us up. I mean, just as we said that, we came up the bump there, and suddenly, just for a moment, it really smelt of pine. And, and that jay just went past, and occasionally we see people like this guy over here walking
his dog.
And there's wide green swards, and there's narrow bits with leaves. It's just the experience, the just basic, simple experience of being in the woods you can get from this is kind of infinite, isn't it?
It's really nice, yeah.
Yeah, I never
tire of it. So this is, so there's so many, you must know so many routes around here.
Absolutely. I've been on them so many times I could walk around with my eyes shut, to be honest.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We used to go for bike rides.
So we are lost.
Yes.
Go over your eyes. Where are we?
No idea. So I know this because Dad used to take us on bike rides around here. So when I was about 5 or 6, I've literally grown up with these woods, and I couldn't get lost. I've tried to get lost. I've tried to find new routes, and I love exploring.
Yeah.
I've done like Duke of Edinburgh Awards. So I've done camping and mapping your route, and being a geographer, I'm really supposed to not get lost.
Yes.
I'm supposed to have a sense of direction. Sign, I'm not allowed to get lost really, but. Yeah, I always train in these woods, or I've got some woods a bit further up at the Lookout Discovery Centre, which is also good. That's for my long runs, I used to train in the hills around there, and it makes road running so much easier. And so
Yes, absolutely.
As you find, probably, if you train off-road, when you go on-road, it's tarmac.
It's a lot smoother.
Yeah,
yes,
easy.
But
a lot, not many boring.
Think of the Kellett Chase 10K, which is a 10K I did through hilly woods on Cannock Chase, which is an old deer forest, and just fantastic, and exactly, you know, the race equivalent of what we've been doing today, you know, just following the route, and it round every corner was a new and different forest experience, you know, up here, down there, and it was just a great way to run. And I don't really think of myself as a trail runner, you know. And like, for example, Paul often does the serious old school cross country stuff, the kind of stuff where you need spikes.
Cross country races,
that's what my dad used to do.
And I, you know, I think, wow, that must be so tough. And it is, partly
really
because the
tough,
standard is so
relentless,
it's hard edged.
Yeah.
But the Kellett Chase thing came was somewhere in between. It was like a, well, it's much more like this, you know, there were no paths that you couldn't basically. You know, the only time you couldn't sprint is when you're going up a steep hill. The surfaces are all pretty good. But you're going through streams and you're still on soft surfaces, and also just a more kind of just aesthetic level. You know, trees and ponds, and it's really, it's a different experience.
It's much more relaxing. I think if I'm on road, I get stressed because I get people hooting at me. I don't know if you've ever had people hooting at you as they drive past.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we have the, living in London, it's much.
We get abuse more.
But then, you know, you've got more options for kind of like towpaths and parks and things. And also, I just think through sheer weight of people, people are more used to runners. You know, I think people. If people in the cars got annoyed with the runners in London, they'd have to be beeping and shouting all day long.
Yeah. But then you have got lots of parks in London, like Bushy Park and Hyde Park, so you have got that option. So depending where you are exactly.
We did. We came out a different way. Nice. Now we're behind the houses. Very satisfying route. Thank you.
It is. No, it's a pleasure.
So what's the rest of your training week like then? What happens? Have you got any horse racing? Any dressage?
Horse racing, we have got Ascot up the road, so, I could always enter one of those.
And that is a lovely hat you've worn today.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So I train twice a week with horse riding.
Right, okay.
And then... I have ballroom dancing once or twice a week as well.
Right.
I used to do tap dancing on some evenings.
Yeah,
which
tap's
is just
tough, isn't it? Is tap tough? I tried to learn how to tap dance once. I found it. Wasn't particularly good. I thought I was going to really take to it for some reason.
So you're not going to be the next Fred Astaire?
No, that's not going to happen. No.
No, I'm not quite Ginger Rogers yet.
Give it time.
But just give it time. But that's more of a social thing. I just really enjoy. I've always been into dancing. So my week's varied. I haven't really got a set plan. I try and fit 2 or 3 runs during the weekday, and then a long run on the weekend. But again, it's not set in stone. I'm more flexible like that now.
That's good.
And you're juggling a little sciatica at the moment, are you?
Yes, it's a recurring.
Right.
Painful, as you can probably imagine. Yeah. Lower back pain that shoots down the back of your leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is agonising. But yeah, stretching. So I'll probably pop to the gym to do some stretches and to loosen up. That usually helps.
Is your gym nearby?
Yeah, it's only about a mile or two up the road.
Yep.
So sometimes I'll just cycle up there, get my cardio in,
yep.
do a bit of conditioning, you know, because they say strength training.
I know I do the stupid jokes, but I genuinely thought you were going to say, I get my cardio on.
I get my cardio on. Put my cardio and my slippers on. Very good for the gym. Yeah, it's a good look.
That's great. I'd love to see that on a running machine.
Oh, Cardi.
That's the way to do it, you know.
Slippers.
You do have to run on the treadmill. Do it
you've
in slippers.
You've got to wear a fancy dress.
Pipe,
yeah.
Maybe a mug of Horlicks.
Yes. Yeah.
And a copy of, you know, the Sunday papers. Just spread around you.
The Mirror. Yes. With wool sheep splashed on the front of it.
Yeah, see what he's up to.
Have you got any races you're planning for then?
I run the Yorkshire Marathon on Sunday, and I was really hoping that Paul would be with me, but he said no, I'm going to go.
I've got to go to Dubai.
I've got
some gigs in Dubai, yeah. So I'll be on the treadmill. I've got a 10k when I get back.
I think in support of me, you should go on the treadmill
miles,
Sunday and run 26 miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miles. Oh, no, you don't have to do the full 10, just do 40k.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
I would rather do that.
So far off being
26 miles outside than on a treadmill. That would be agonising. I would not be able to do.
Well, you know, I genuinely, when I was, because we're doing the same run of gigs back to back. So I did Dubai a couple of weeks ago. And when I was there, I worked quite hard. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I really planned to run 30k on a treadmill. And then when I got there, I started doing it. I mean, when I say when I got there, I don't mean when I got to Dubai. I mean, when I got to the gym that day, I did the first 10k and I was like, no, that's it. You can't run longer than that on a treadmill. You're just going to go insane.
Even with a TV in front of me, I still can't.
No, it was
crazy.
I don't
even run with an iPod or music or anything when I go outside. I don't need all that.
No, and it's also nice. I keep complaining
disengage.
About being on the treadmill out there, but I was watching films and stuff. You know, it wasn't like a prison situation.
You get those really good virtual running machines, don't you, where you can run on a treadmill surrounded by images of woodland.
I've never tried that. Is that any good?
Well, apparently. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it myself.
I suppose if parks and actual outside were unavailable, then that could be a good thing.
So where can people, we're coming near the end there, where can people get your book?
Oh, it's available through Waterstones, Amazon and W.H. Smith, or you can go through my publisher, which is Trigger Press.
That's Running with Robbins.
Running with Robbins. Good. And are you on social media and stuff? Do you do that, or...?
I am on Facebook.
Right, okay.
I'm not the most...
You don't tweet? Yeah, don't worry about it.
I don't tweet that much.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So I probably should, as Robbins are my thing. But it would be rather apt if I did get on Twitter.
This Jackdaw seems a bit jealous then.
Yeah.
What about Jackdaws?
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking us to your woods today.
And telling us your story as well. It was really...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really nice to hear it. It's a very important one, and it's one a lot of people can relate to varying or lesser degrees. And it's good that you're out of that sort of dark driven phase, isn't it? And who knows where you're going to go from here, do we? We don't really know, do we?
But I think... Hopefully, home for Christmas.
That's it.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.